Exodus 20. Good morning. Verse 13. Commandment number 6. Thou shalt not kill. Amen. One of the shortest, next to verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. So what does God really mean when he says thou shalt not kill? What is condemned and what is justified? As we open up this teaching, it'll be more of a teaching, and you can kind of build a doctrine around it so we understand. When we have wars and abortion, when we have self-defense, when we have capital punishment, when we have euthanasia, suicide, animals for food, you know, what's right, what's wrong? What falls under this commandment of thou shalt not kill? Individuals die. All murder is killing, but all killing is not murder.
Right.
Okay? And so we will try to break it down in this little teaching here because we want to see what God's commandment is binding upon us. Because we want to know the scriptures, we want to know what we believe and why we believe it, we want to be able to follow it, and if so, teach it to somebody else, and so we need to know these things, so it's good to study these things. So as we read the scriptures in its context and compare scripture with scripture, we'll come to a conclusion on this verse in knowing what's right, what's wrong, and so forth. So let's pray. Father in heaven, pray that you'd bless this lesson. As we hope to learn from you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2, the very first and foremost thing that we need to understand is God is the giver of life. Amen. He's the giver of life. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. Different than the animals, which we'll talk about maybe. But man, he's a living soul. God gives him the breath of life. God did not give the breath of life into the nostrils of the creatures. But not only that, he's the taker of life. Because what does it say here in verse 17? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So here we see life and death at the hands of God. Job 1:21 says, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Okay, he gives, he takes. Deuteronomy 32:39, the Lord speaking, I kill and I make alive. Okay, so first and foremost, we see that God is the giver and taker of life. Second, what do we see? We see that the devil is a murderer. Turn to John chapter 8, maybe a familiar passage. John chapter 8, this is when Jesus is going back and forth with the Pharisees here, as he often did. Very religious individuals that were trying to follow the law to a T. They were hypocritical in their teaching. Jesus exposed them. They got mad. Here we see in John 8 and verse 44, he gets to the point where he just calls them for what they are. Amen. John 8 and verse 44, ye are of your father the devil. By the way, he's answering them because in verse 33 they said, we be of Abraham's seed. You know, we're somebody special.
Yeah.
He said, no, verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Okay? A murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Amen.
So He is the father of murders. He is the father of lies. He is the father of evil. The devil, okay? Through deceit, he brought sin and death into the world from Adam all the way to you and I.
Right.
In just one generation, man's murderous tendencies emerged when Cain did what? He slew Abel. Genesis chapter 4, turn there. I mean, you're familiar with some of these things, but we're going to look at these verses here, Genesis 4. Genesis 4. This would be the first crime after the fall. Genesis 4, verse 8 through 10, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. So that's interesting too. So God knows, amen. God knows when blood is shed. God knows when a life is taken, which is important because life is taken every day through various means. And again, we'll look at all of that. But that was murder, okay? And the Bible says that all murderers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, Revelation 21:8. And so it's not going to go unseen, it's not going to go unheard, it's not going to go unknown. God knows. Murder is a seed of sin, and every man, woman, and child is capable of committing this crime. Right. Don't think it above you that you can't do the same thing, amen, because it's sin. Yes. And sin dwells in us. Mm-hmm. We see that from the beginning, the earth was filled with violence. God destroyed it with a flood over in Genesis chapter 8. And when Noah and his family came off the ark, we read two things that are significant because now God's going to be setting up something here to our study. So turn there in Genesis chapter 9. This is when they come off the ark, Genesis 9. We see here that there's a command to kill. Genesis 9, verses 2 and 3. Well, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Amen. God's given us dominion over the animals. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Amen? God's given it to us. What? For meat. Well, how do you get meat from an animal? Well, you got to kill the animal. Amen? We don't try to eat it raw, though some eat some stuff while it's still living. But turn to verse 6, or just look down a little further. Because now we see this. Verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. You see, man being made in the image of God, man is important to God. We are his creation. Man's life is not just to be taken by another. Or he is not to take his own life. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But when it comes to animals, as we see here, God's given us dominion over them. We have the right to kill animals for food, amen? And it's okay. It's not wrong to do that. There's a difference between a man and a monkey, amen? God has made us different. Don't believe the lies in the textbooks or the History Channel or Discovery Channel or whatever channel that you see where they say millions and millions of years ago, you were a blob. You were not. You were created in the image of God, amen? Don't believe the lies of evolution and the lies that are in the textbook. Your great, 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 great grandfather was not a monkey. And there's still the missing link. They have not found it, and they won't find it because it's not there. Amen. Man has been separated by a rational, moral, and spiritual capacity whereby we can interact and commune with our Creator. The animals, they can't do that. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 6:26, our life is more valuable than what? Than the sparrow, the fowls of the air, and the grass of the field. It's more valuable. And God had to remind Peter in Acts chapter 10 to kill and eat. Amen. And so that solves that one, okay? And so that, I mean, you know, we kind of already knew this and we had an idea of this, but just for some... They don't understand. Some fight about that and some argue about that. But so we can clearly see through the scripture that killing animals for food is justifiable, amen. But you have liberals and wacko vegetarians who hold signs and have slogans that thou shalt not kill. But they have no scriptural warrant for it, okay? And we do. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I saw a saying once, PETA, PETA, that's the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, I think is what it is. I saw it read, people eating tasty animals. I thought that was pretty funny. And some animals aren't pretty tasty, amen. God's given them to us to eat, and so enjoy them. But in moderation, amen. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 3. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Now, God chooses that time, amen. Yes. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. Now, as we look at humans here, there's three areas that I'd like to look at, and hopefully we'll cover all the different kinds of killings that there is: unlawful deaths, accidental deaths, and lawful deaths. And you say, well, why are you going into such a deep study? Well, because that's where we're at right now, amen? We're on commandment number 6, and we're just doing a teaching of the 10 commandments here. And so, but then we'll also look at the positive side of the commandment. So let's go to Numbers chapter 35. Numbers 35. And this is Sunday school. This is where we take time and we learn deeper, in-depth kind of studies, and it's just where we're at right now, amen? So unlawful deaths, murder, taking another man's life. We know that murder is a person who unlawfully kills a human being with premeditated malice. And the Bible talks about this in the book of Proverbs, where it gives allusion to premeditated murder, where and we'll look at that verse there, Proverbs, in Proverbs 1, where it's kind of planned out that we're going to do this. But Numbers 35, verse 16, the Bible says, and if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Right. And we'll talk a little bit, too, about capital punishment, which is a good thing. And if he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Now, this is God. This is God's law. This is his word that he's given. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The problem we have in our day is the murderer is not being put to death. He's just being slapped on his wrist and thrown in jail where he sits there and feeds off of the system for countless of years. And then does good time and finds himself out in 8 years or 10 years after he took a man's life, or two men or three men. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl him by lying of wait, that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. So God makes it pretty clear here. If you take somebody's life, you're a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. But we know this, that every day murders take place, and so these fall under the condemnation of this commandment, that thou shalt not kill. Well, so who is guilty? Murderers. Amen? Murderers. And then again, I mentioned in Proverbs 1, we don't necessarily have to go there. We understand a lot of this stuff already. We were just touching some bases and looking at the verses because we want to build our doctrine upon the Bible and not upon what we think. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, as whole as those that go down to the pit. He's saying, come on, let's do this. We're premeditating this plan of attack, this robbery, this murder, or whatever it is. Let's move on. Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22. Here in Deuteronomy 22, we see negligence. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 8. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. The battlement was just a little raised piece on top of the roof whereby you wouldn't just fall over. Very common in Latin culture and other places around the world. It was a protection. It was a boundary. Amen. Because if that man fell off your house, and you didn't have a battlement, you were now responsible. That was negligence. Yes. Exodus 21. Turn there. Exodus 21. Exodus 21. So first we see property with the home, and now we see animals. 28, if an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quiet. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, he knew, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. Somebody's got a pit bull or a dog that mauls some little child, and he's been known to do this in time past. Hey, both of y'all, put to death. Your ox, put to death. God's word, he made it plain. That's negligence. You knew, but yet you did nothing about it. Deuteronomy 17, turn there. Sorry, we should have went there when we were in Deuteronomy, but this will be good for us to flip through our Bibles. Deuteronomy 17. Now see, and all of this is protected here. God knew that the sin of man and can just, sometimes his mouth can say what he wants to say, and the first story sounds good, but sometimes we got to wait and hear the other side of the story. It's always smart to hear both sides of the story, amen. But not only that, how about two or three witnesses? Deuteronomy 17, verse 6. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. Okay? Just one testifying against another, it's not going to work. No, we need two or three witnesses. And we see this all throughout the scriptures. So there's a protection here too with this commandment. Because again, taking life is precious to God. God's not just going to say, okay, just murder them all. Just murder him, let him go. Yeah, murder him. He said this, murder, 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 kill, kill. No. Okay, let's move on. Exodus 21. So we see murder, A. We see negligence, B. What about this one? The unborn, C. Abortion, over 4,000 a day, over 1,500,000 every year. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. And how much more innocent can you be than one that cannot defend itself? Exodus 21, look here, verse 22 through 25. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. That's interesting. A woman with child. The child has not yet been born. It's still in the womb. Life for life. It's a life, God says. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. God sees that baby as a real separate person. Amen. And just because of the laws of our land or judges that sit upon our thrones, don't see it that way. Doesn't make it any different, amen? God sees it that way. And God calls it a life, amen? And a woman has no right to take the life of that which does not belong to her because it belongs to God. The fruit of the womb is his reward. They belong to him, amen? And abortion is murder. It's sin. Murder, negligence, the unborn, suicide. There's about five cases in the Bible. Samson, remember that? Right. Saul and his armor bearer. Right. There's some two that may not be too familiar. Ahithophel and Zimri. And then Judas. Remember Judas, right? What he did? The murder of self is condemned also in Scripture. Yes. It's wrong. What about this one? Turn to Matthew. Turn to Matthew, please, because this is where it might hit a little closer to home, because, again, all of the commandments have a great principle behind them, and they have a spirit behind them that, as we taught through some of the other ones, we could see the practicality in our New Testament life. But what about murder? We're not murdering people. We're not going out and killing people. Thou shalt not kill. We understand that. Because now we've moved. Remember, we've moved on to the second table of the stones here, where it's dealing with our relationship with man and not so much our relationship with God. Well, what does Jesus say here in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, verse 21? Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, now he's not changing the commandment here, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Wow. You see how he just opens up the commandment even further, and he brings a spirit behind the commandment that shows, listen, not only when you commit it with your hand, but when it's committed in your heart, just as he takes adultery the same way, when you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed it in your heart. And he talks about that down there later on, verses 27 and 28, and we'll get to that when we get to that commandment. But here we are with anger. It's like hidden homicide. It's in the heart. And who can say here that they are not guilty of being angry without a cause? So therefore, what does that make us? Sinners. Murderers. Guilty of the sixth commandment. And James 2:10 says, if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all. And therefore, we're deserving of what? Judgment. But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift found in the Lord Jesus Christ, that though we are unworthy of his great love and mercy, God was rich in that mercy and love. And he commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he made a way, and we can now be made righteous in God's eyes, like I've never committed that sin. Justified, amen. 1 John chapter 3, turn there. 1 John 3. And listen, the Bible says anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And there's a whole lesson on anger in the book of Proverbs that we could look at, because that's something that everyone deals with. And it's something that needs to be subdued. Verse 14 and 15, 1 John 3, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen. God puts a love in your heart after you're saved. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. He brings back out the spirit then there of that whole commandment, that listen, if you're hating, it's murder. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Amen. Thanks be unto God, though, that we can, 1 John 1:9, confess and repent and make it right. Okay? So let's move on here. Numbers 35. So, really, in most of the lesson, that's probably the only one that's really applicable, because, again, we're not committing murder physically, but within our heart, way back where nobody really goes and sees and knows but us, we're killing somebody almost all the time that we're angry with and we're bitter. We just need to confess it and forsake it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, all that stuff, let it be put away from you. And forgive those that have wronged us, amen. And what is it? Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So do ye to others. And we need to do that. Okay, Numbers 35. So the first thing we were looking at was unlawful deaths. We saw murder, we saw negligence, the unborn, suicide, anger. But what about accidental deaths where there's no malicious intent? Numbers 35, verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye become over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in the judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner. See, God's including everyone, amen? God's not leaving out the person that's just passing by or the stranger in the land. Again, his laws, yes, the law was given to Israel, to his people, but we see that it applies for everyone. That everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. Listen, he had a place set up that if you, and he gives an example, and we can turn there, you may remember it, if you're just hacking at some wood and the hatchet piece, the steel flies off the handle and it hits somebody in the head and they die, you better start running to that city of refuge real quick if you know he's dead, because you know what? He's got family that's going to come look for you. And God has given that city of refuge. And again, there's a beautiful picture there with the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's our city of refuge, because we have committed murder, we have sinned, and we need to flee to that city of refuge before our sin catches up with us. Okay, lawful deaths. Lawful deaths. What's lawful deaths? Well, Genesis 9 and verse 6, the very first thing that we looked at when we started the lesson, capital punishment. You take a life, you lose your life. And however it's been, from a firing squad to a hanging, to the electric chair, to the needle, the drugs, however they're giving it now, capital punishment. It's upheld in the Word of God. It's not condemned. It's not wrong, as many would make you to believe that it is wrong. It's not wrong. Exodus 21, turn there. Exodus 21. Some of these may seem redundant here. We looked at some of these verses. Exodus 21, verse 12, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. Verse 15, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Verse 16, he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. Over and over and over again, God's commanding man to take another man's life lawfully. Yes. Verse 17, and he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Verse 23, and if any mischief follow, we saw that one, then thou shalt give life for life. Okay? You see, to kill an offender is not murder, but justice. Amen? Justice, which is a foreign term. Justice. To kill an offender is not murder, but justice. It's not our jobs, but it's God's law, and he gives us that authority. Turn to Romans chapter 12, Romans 12, and we'll also look at Romans 13. Romans 12 and Romans 13. There's that verse over there in Ecclesiastes 8. 11, if you're taking notes. You don't have to turn there, because I told you to go somewhere else. But I turned there, because I didn't want to misquote it. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You see, what happened all summer long is the preacher brought it out in some of his sermons in the last few months. They just did whatever they wanted because there was no punishment. There was no consequences. And even when there was a consequence, then you had some, our vice president, who was senator at the time, bailing them out. Makes absolutely no sense. But if it's not executed speedily, it needs to be done. Hey, listen, that man had to flee to that city of refuge, because if he didn't get there in time, because somebody was coming after him, he would have died. And you know what? And it's so important, as we talked a little bit about child rearing and training these last lessons, that children need to know right away. There is consequences for your crimes. There is punishment when you do wrong. Not, now Johnny, wait till your father gets home. No, listen, Johnny can get it right now, Mom. It's fully set in their heart and mind to just continue to do evil because, hey, listen, I can just do wrong because there's no punishment. I can go bust this window over here and run in and steal these sneakers and this big screen TV because the police don't care. They ain't doing nothing about it. And others see that, and then it spreads like a virus, and everyone gets involved, and what a mess.
That's right.
What a mess. Amen. Romans, where did I tell you? 12 and 13. Romans 12, we'll start there. Verse 19. Romans 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You see, we leave it in his hands. We leave it in his authority. Okay?
Right.
Romans 13, 1 through 4. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, even if we disagree or don't like it. God is smarter. God is wiser. His ways are higher than our ways. We don't understand his plan. Do you think that the disciples understood that Jesus was going to the cross, was going to be the greatest gift ever given to mankind? That it was going to be the victory?
Right.
No, they didn't understand it. They couldn't see it. We wouldn't have understood it either. But yet God knew. It was his plan. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. If you're doing good, you have nothing to worry about, amen? But if you're doing wrong, hey, they're coming for you. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He's to use that sword. But in our day and age, he doesn't use the sword. He just puts you in a cage. Yeah. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now again, we do understand Acts 5 and verse 39 or 40. We ought to obey God rather than man. If man's laws are in opposition to God's laws, we give our allegiance to God and him alone first and foremost. But there are many other laws that, yes, we can humbly submit ourselves to the powers that be. Those are ordained of God. They have the authority. So, lawful deaths. We got a couple more minutes. Self-defense, amen? Let's talk about that. Hey, we need to watch the house, Jesus said. He said, listen, if you were watching, you wouldn't have suffered that person to enter in. Okay? And so there is a protection here. We and praise the Lord, according to the laws of our lands, we have the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. You see, there's a warning and then there's a killing. Okay? And if somebody is going to enter into your castle, you have the right, and I don't know if that doctrine or that law is here, but it was in Indiana, the castle doctrine. You have the right to defend your home. You have that right. You have that protection. Go to Exodus 22, please. Exodus 22. Listen, if somebody's coming to my house at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're banging, they're not there to, you know, have lunch. They're not there to sell cookies. They're there to do wrong. Something is going on. Again, the crime oftentimes takes place when? In the night.
Yes.
When they can try to be hidden and covered. And Proverbs talks about that. In the black and dark night. Nighttime, murder. Daytime, theft. Exodus 22, 2 and 3. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. No. What? He messed up. You went into the wrong business at the wrong time, buddy. Verse 3, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. For he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft.
Amen.
Okay. So we see, and then again in Matthew 24, Jesus talks about, if we were watching the house, the thief wouldn't be able to break in because we'd be ready for him. John 10:10, Jesus talking about the devil and not the shepherd. He says that the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, steal, kill, destroy. He wants to take something that does not belong to him. And then what about war? Well, Ecclesiastes 3:8 says there's a time for war. There's a time when we defend our country, our liberties, and our livelihood, okay, from those that would like to oppress us. Exodus 15:3, the Bible says that the Lord is a man of war. All throughout the scriptures, we read about the children of Israel warring. So was God against that? No, he was commanding it at the time. He taught how to fight. Psalm 18:34, David said, he teacheth my hands to war. And so, yes, it's justifiable. He gave battle plans to generals. Joshua, he told him how to go about the attack, okay? And so, yes, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? And it's 10:49. I have 1 minute. The positive side of the commandment, we need to preserve life, amen, as Christian individuals. We need to step in for the suffering. The priest, the Levite, what did they do? They walked by. One walked on the other side from the man that found his way down to Jericho. He was on the side of the road there. Luke chapter 10. Remember, this is the Good Samaritan story. One even went up and looked at him and thought, you know what, I'm not going to mess with that. But the Good Samaritan, what did he do? He went and he helped that individual. Amen. The Samaritan kept the commandment. Why? Because he helped him. He knew that he needed. And so not only that, we need to speak to sinners because men are dying spiritually all around us. Who's going to save them? We have the gospel message, amen. We are to be a watchman on the wall. We are to sound that trumpet. We are to point them to Calvary, amen. At Calvary, murder took place.
Yes.
Death happened. His death,
amen.
Our life, amen.
Amen.
Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, you're condemned by this commandment.
Amen.
You're guilty. You violated it. You've broken his law. You're worthy of death. But if you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save you.
Amen.
And you can live eternally. Amen.
Yes.
You can be forgiven for what you've done. I pray you'd do that. Let's close. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this series here in the Ten Commandments and this commandment that we've looked at, number 6, thou shalt not kill. I pray, Father, that we have applied these truths to our hearts and now we can that we can live them in our life. Lord, that you would help us to be mindful of your words and your law. And Lord, that you would forgive us where we've fallen short of it. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You're dismissed.